Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. 3 days of wonder as hot air balloons from across the nation fly over our Farmington skies the mornings of September 23rd through the 25th and light up the nights in the midst of vendors and live entertainment. Friday night, they'll be at San Juan College, followed by Patrick and the Las Vegas Band on stage at the Henderson Performing Arts Center. Saturday night, they'll be at Justice Park Ballfields, followed by the Guess Who live at Ricketts Park. All balloon events are free. Find info and concert tickets at fourcornersballoonrally.com. It's 8 o'clock. It is Thursday morning, the 15th day of September, 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, 103.3 FM over the air in Durango, Colorado, and streaming everywhere else on the planet from our website, KSJE.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. The video is streaming out live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So we're glad that you are with us this morning, because coming up, my conversation with the San Juan County Office of Emergency Management. They are having their regular disaster drill coming up early next month. We'll get all the details and meet some of the other folks who are involved with that. It's all coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE, so stay tuned for that. Then, of course, next hour, Mick Hess will take us roving with the arts. It is our daily classical music program, and today Mick is featuring music from female composer Mel Bonis. That's coming up today after the news at 9:06 on KSJE. And a relatively new program to the schedule, don't forget about Native Art Voices of the Four Corners. It is here on every third Thursday of the month at 9:30, hosted by Vinaya Yazzie. And this month, Vinaya is introducing us to the weaver and former chef, Franco Lee, who now lives in the Shiprock area. So we'll meet him and learn more about that coming up today at 9:30 on KSJE. Don't forget also, you can connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And if you're a podcast person, who isn't these days, you can subscribe for free to KSJE Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, places like iTunes and Spotify and Google and Pandora and iHeart, all those places. Check them out and maybe discover a new program that you may have missed. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it is currently sunny and 55 degrees at the moment. We are expecting a mostly sunny and drier day today with a high of 78 degrees in Farmington. Clear and cooler overnight tonight with a low of 52. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 82 on Friday. 83 degrees on Saturday, topping out 85. Sunshine on Sunday and Monday. And take a look, maybe another chance of some showers early in middle of next week. We'll see how that develops as we get a bit closer. And overnight lows warming up to near 60 degrees by Monday night. Well, let me introduce my guests who are here with me this morning. As I mentioned, representing the San Juan County Office of Emergency Management, we have the director himself, Mike Mestis, is here. Good morning. Good to have you back.
Hey, good morning, Scott. It's good to be back and not on Zoom like we did during COVID.
That's true. We can actually be in the same room.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate it. I was beginning to take a little personally that you wouldn't come see me anymore, but here you are. So
yeah, here I am.
We're
thank
all
you.
Good. It's good
thank
to see
you.
Thank you
for having us.
You bet. Great to have you here. Also joining us here in the studio is Ryan Briggs. He is the chair of the local emergency planning committee for the city of Farmington, Farm Team. Good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Scott.
Welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thanks for coming in. And certainly last but not least, we also have representing Enterprise Products. Victor Crawford is here. Victor is the safety supervisor for Enterprise. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you for coming in, Victor. Appreciate you being here as well. And I know the support of Enterprise for this disaster drill that we'll be talking about in just a moment. And that brings me back to Mike Mestis to talk a little bit about this disaster drill. You do this somewhat regularly, and I'm trying to remember if it's every year or every other year.
Yes, we try to do it an annual exercise drill, but obviously COVID kind of hampered that for the last 3 years.
So, a lot of things.
So it hampered a lot of things. So the program started back with our former director, emergency manager Don Cooper. We try to host an annual exercise program just to be proficient within San Juan County with our type teams. We have a SWAT team, we have a bomb team, hazardous materials team. So we want to be proficient with those teams, that equipment that they get annually. And it also lets Homeland Security know, hey, these guys are using that stuff, and we want to continue to sustain our teams.
Right. And I know that there are a couple of different types of drills that we sometimes hear about. Some are tabletop drills, and others are more kind of in-person, actually boots on the ground type of drills. And so you kind of go back and forth sometimes too.
Yeah, it escalates through the Homeland Security exercise and planning from a tabletop drill, which is a facilitated discussion. And then you move up into an EOC drill, which is a functional exercise where you incorporate some actual techniques of actually discussion and doing things. And then you move on to the boots on the ground full-scale drill. And again, that's part of the 8 SEAP series for Homeland Security.
Got it. And so the one that we're talking about, though, is what type of drill coming up in October?
Yeah, the one that we're talking about on October 5th will be our full-scale drill. And it's been a series. You'll discuss with Scott here, with Victor here in a second, that we started with the tabletop in July. We did our EOC functional early August, and then now we're moving to our full-scale drill in October 5th this year.
Got it.
In two locations, in Bloomfield and here in Farmington.
Okay. And so the drill is then going to be taking place in these two locations, as you mentioned. Let me turn to Ryan Briggs a little bit about your involvement with this, too, and the local emergency planning committee, because you're really trying to incorporate a lot of different emergency responders to take part in these types of drills, right? So everybody kind of knows what everyone is planning to do and needs to do during an emergency?
That's correct. Excuse me. So one of the functions of the LEPC is that we really try to get area industry involved and meet them from emergency response agencies so we can establish that connection before the emergency actually occurs. So we have good contacts. If something happens at 2 o'clock in the morning or if there's a large event, we know who to call, what resources they have, and then have also hopefully prepared and done what we call a pre-plan and actually look at what their capabilities are and what the emergency response will have to be in order to augment those types of things.
Got it. And I guess, too, it helps for the responders to know kind of what each of them are supposed to do and what their areas of expertise are. If you've got volunteer companies coming in from all over and mutual aid, and depending how big the emergency is, it's important for everyone to kind of know what they need to be doing.
Exactly. And so through this process, they have the ability to actually see the facility, talk to the on-site operators and the people who they'll be interacting with, and maybe even following into the areas, because, you know, that's one of the major things we try to accomplish here, is that industry knows their facilities better than anybody else. They're the experts on running that and what the hazards are associated with those facilities. So we absolutely need their help, and it's vital that they are part of that process when our first responders go in and actually try to help them out and get the emergency mitigated.
Let's bring our industry representative into the conversation here. Victor Crawford is here from Enterprise Products, as I mentioned. And Victor, just remind us a little bit about the work that Enterprise does in the region. You guys are, again, part of the energy industry here.
That's correct. So we're a midstream operator here. We also have a regulated pipeline that leaves the area into Texas. So, yeah, we do both of those services.
Got you. And so it sounds like it's kind of a 24/7, 365 operation,
yes,
right?
Yes,
and
sir.
So if something goes south, you need to know that you've got folks that can come by and help, and the first responders and the emergency management folks and things like that need to be
absolutely
know what you do at your facilities, right?
Absolutely. And Ryan touched on it a little bit too. You know, we need to know those emergency responders ahead of time. The first time we meet them isn't good if we meet them during an incident like that. So we want to meet them ahead of time, break bread with them, have some good times. That way, if they do have to respond to something that we might run into, then we have a good relationship established already.
Right. And as we were talking before we came on the air this morning, this isn't the Enterprise's first involvement with these types of drills with the Office of Emergency Management.
Correct. Yeah. Since I've been here since 2011, we've done three or four of these drills with the county and Mike, and we get really heavily involved because we feel like it's really important to know those guys in the fire department, the EMS, the SWAT teams, those kind of guys, even the state police get involved in some of these drills. So, yeah.
Right. Very good. Well, thank you for being here this morning.
Absolutely.
And sharing the perspective from industry, because it's really important. And Mike Mestis, you mentioned this drill is going to be at two locations. So tell us a little bit more about the actual disaster drill.
Sure. Back to the date on October 5th.
Yes.
And so the public is quite aware. Our first location will be in Bloomfield. That's going to be our hazardous materials portion of the drill, which our hazmat team and county fire will be involved in. It'll be at the Enterprise footprint at the Blanco storage facility on Arizona Street. So the public is not concerned. We'll have signs out notating that, hey, there's a drill going on today. Testing capabilities of our first responders. Don't be alarmed. Don't call 911.
Sure. But they'll notice. They'll notice there's going to be flashing lights and stuff in the neighborhood, right?
It'll start at 7 in the morning. It won't be completed till around noon. And they'll know that there's something actually going on. But again, don't be alarmed that it's just an exercise.
Right.
Okay. Second location that you were speaking about will be on East Main at the storage facility Enterprise, and it's right next to Webb Chevrolet, or Webb Toyota, correct?
Okay.
On Herrera Street. And we're going to test our SWAT team capabilities with the San Juan County Sheriff's Office and the Farmington Police Department Sheriff's Office, and also our bomb team. And they'll do a negotiation-type hostage situation. There's not going to be loud bangs or things like that. But we just need to test the teams, make sure they work together, and mitigate the scenario that's going to happen.
Right.
And it'll be about a 3-4 hour drill as well. And the reason we, because Enterprise is our sponsor, we use their facilities, we surround the drill around them, we incorporate them into what's called Unified Command. So again, what Ryan spoke about, we work together with those agencies so that we don't do it for the first time in an actual emergency.
Right. And everybody kind of knows, I guess, what to expect when they arrive on scene whatever is going on, right? And will these two locations, the activities be happening simultaneously, or is it one right after another, or how is it planning to go?
That's correct. They'll both be happening simultaneously. And I didn't tell you about the third location. The third location will be San Juan Regional Medical Center, who incorporates their testing of their annual emergency room trauma with our drills as well. So they bring patients. We have 25 actors from the school dramas, eight classrooms.
Right.
We bring them in.
So they'll be your patients, I guess, right? The victims from whatever is going on.
Correct.
Got it.
Take them into the emergency room, all the way up to the operating room, and they test their hospital facilities on a mass trauma. So.
And that's important for the hospital. We don't have anyone from the hospital here with us this morning, but they, I imagine, would tell us that that is important for them in case of any kind of mass casualty event, to know how they would react if you have 25 people showing up around the same time needing medical care, and how to prioritize and how to triage all those patients coming in.
Yeah, that is correct. It's one of their annual compliance drills that they have to complete every year. They incorporate it within our drill, but it just helps them maintain proficiency with their ER staff and their actual hospital incident management team.
Right. And just from hearing you describe what's going to be happening here on October 5th, Mike Mestis, how important is it to get all the cooperation from the different entities in the community? You mentioned, all the law enforcement, all the emergency responders, these private companies, the hospital, the police, the SWAT, the sheriff, the list goes on. And then you've got other, I know, sponsors who are maybe going to feed these people and help to make it go smoothly and all those different things. I mean, it's a big operation, literally.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's a collaborative effort of the entire community. An example, if it wasn't for McGee Park and having a relationship there with Mr. Hill and being able to use McGee Park and their facilities to feed our first responders, because you're going to have them drilling for 4 hours. You definitely need to feed them. And that's why the sponsorship of Enterprise is so vital. We can't use Homeland Security dollars for food and drinks. So the sponsorship that Enterprise provides allows us to do a big barbecue. We call it a hot wash, and we feed those first responders. The Red Cross is vital because the Red Cross comes in and helps provide some of that assistance. Some volunteers from the local churches, because the Red Cross is not staffed to full capabilities. County allowing, the city allowing overtime. So just a big community effort. And again, thanks for the sponsorship of Enterprise.
Right, right. Victor, let me turn it back to you a little bit about Enterprise's involvement. Like we said, you've done this numerous times, and so the company must feel this is money well spent and time well spent when your employees and the company is working on a drill like this.
Absolutely. You know, it's part of our comprehensive, as far as a company, comprehensive safety and integrity program. To do these kind of drills. And just like Mike was talking about earlier, we have individual smaller teams that do tabletops and functional and then full-scale drills as well. This is obviously the big full-scale that we like to do every year. But yeah, it's one of those things that the company believes in. The chairman is absolutely on board with everything, and we believe that it helps our community and it helps our responders as well, emergency responders.
Right, right. Thank you very much. Ryan Briggs, let me come back to you a little bit about the LEPC, the Local Emergency Planning Committee, and its importance to making sure that all the other entities, the governmental entities and the emergency responder entities, all kind of know what's going on and that they are kind of at the ready, because as we have seen, gosh, even this month, you know, there are natural disasters and other incidents that happen in communities across the country, and when the response doesn't go like we think it's going to go, other problems can happen.
Right. And so we never know what's going to happen, and I guess that's why they're technically called emergencies.
Sure.
And so having all these different things in place, and we do have an LEPC meeting once a month where we do try to get together with the area industry representatives who attend the meeting, and then also local law enforcement and fire response and the hospital all the time. So having that relationship in place and just getting to know one another, having resources, I mean, there are large emergencies and small emergencies, and even the small emergencies, it's nice to have that network to where we can just pick up the phone and say, hey, we've got this going on. Do you have any resources we can borrow or we can utilize at this point in time to help mitigate this? And just having that in place is very priceless. I mean, because we know each other and we can get things done rather quickly, where other places I think it really does take a long time. And I'm gonna toot Mike's horn a little bit here. So there's different meetings that happen at the state level, DHSEM, Department of Homeland Security Emergency Management here at the state level, and then they also have an Association of Emergency Managers here in the state of New Mexico. And every time they get together or we get together with them, they're always asking, how does San Juan County do what it does? We have such great participation from our industry partners and from our emergency response partners and agencies. They just don't understand, and they want the model on how we actually get as much accomplished that we do. So Mike has really done a great job through his tenure as the emergency manager, bringing everybody together and helping us to be prepared and building this good coalition of friends.
Right. Give us some idea of the extent of the local committee, I guess, and the other committees that you have as part of this, right? Because there's a whole bunch of folks who I know when you meet monthly, I think a lot of other folks that get together, right, to share information.
Yeah, there are multiple committees underneath the LEPC. So some of the other committees that we have are the Safe Schools Committee. So that is, you know, almost every school district, I think, in the county participates in that. And the Office of Emergency Management and response agencies help them with their pre-planning, help them with lockdown, help them with different situations, their emergency action plans, their EAPs, actually does drills with them, locates resources if they need them, so like radios and different things of that nature. They give them direction, guidance, and even try to get monies through grants for them. We also have a public health committee underneath the LEPC, so talking with the different hospitals, and not only just hospitals, but providers, individual providers, and then also the care home facilities.
Right.
So really getting that good conversation going and keeping on top of what's occurring. I mean, that particular committee was super busy during the pandemic, meeting weekly and sometimes daily, and I think they've got very tired of seeing each other on Zoom, and it's when we were actually able to get together in person, it was a really, really great event.
Right.
And then we also have a public information officers group, so all the PIOs in the area, not only for governmental agencies, but also for private industry to get together. So getting that information out and the right information during emergencies is a huge portion of this. And so they meet regularly. And having that ability to get the information out to all the different media streams nowadays is super important. And they do a wonderful job with that. And then a new committee that's been formed that we're trying to do more with after the pandemic is the faith-based community. So looking at area churches and another areas of worship, other gathering places, and make them prepared and help them get prepared for anything that could occur in their facilities and bringing resources in and helping train them up.
Gotcha.
So Mike's a busy guy.
Well, yeah, we knew that.
Yeah.
We know that. That's true. But it sounds like all of you are pretty busy with the work that you all do and as part of this committee and just the overall keeping everyone safe and just everyone connected to everybody else, sounds like.
Right, yeah.
You mentioned safe schools, and I want to just pick up on that for a moment about the radios and how important that is. And I think we've heard from some of the schools how they've invested a lot in radio technology. Mike Mestis, maybe you can speak to this a little bit, too, about being able to speak directly maybe to the front office or get on the PA from a handheld radio anywhere in the school. I think Farmington has that type of abilities. Maybe others do, too, and maybe even reaching dispatch from a handheld radio. Because if there is an emergency, I think we've all heard that cell phones sometimes get overloaded, those networks, and they go down. And so cell phones aren't as reliable in an emergency as we might like to think that they are. And so you need a secondary way of communicating, right?
Yeah. Back to Safe Schools,
yeah.
The collaboration within the community, and the number one person to thank on that has been McGahey from the Farmington Police Department. He's their communications supervisor, part of the Safe School Committee back in the day. Recognized the threat of an active shooter in the schools, and if you can't communicate that threat within the schools to go to lockdown, then you're going to have a loss of life. So he recognized early on, being a communication, being a former police officer, that hey, we need to get the schools more than just an intercom saying hey, you have a threat inside your building. So he took it as a personal challenge to him to make sure that all schools in San Juan County, we started off with some donated radios from the first responders to obtaining grants and to all the schools putting it in their budget. So all the schools in San Juan County now have portable radios. Ben was instrumental in getting that completed for us. They all have communications into their office. They all have an incident command team. They all can communicate. They use the radios on a daily basis, because if you don't use them daily and you try to use them during an emergency, you don't know what to do. He's also got them tied into a mobile repeater, so they're tied into a dispatch center. And that proved vital on the day of December 7th in 2017 when we had the Aztec school shooting, where even the janitor, down to the janitor, Mr. Emery, communicated the threat that he had a person inside the building shooting rounds off, communicated that threat. The building immediately went into lockdown. Although we lost two heroes, the rest of the school was saved because of that communications, and then tied that into the dispatch center, who immediately sent first responders where we were there in 2 minutes.
Right. And that's really important. And again, thank you for sharing that, because I think we sometimes lose sight of some of those improvements that really do save seconds, save time, save lives, despite the loss of life in the Aztec incident. But certainly it's important to be able to have that in the hands of folks who maybe, you know, if you're outside and you can't get to a phone, your cell phone's not working, but you have a radio, you can certainly still report what's going on.
You definitely communicate that. And just going back to what Ryan said, again, we're the model of what's going on in the state, and everybody looks to us to provide that leadership. Not to plug more of the Safe School stuff, but on October 4th, the day before our full scale, mm-hmm. not that we're busy enough,
yeah.
We're doing a big school reunification drill out at McGee Park. One of the challenges in our after action that we noticed after the Aztec incident was getting kids back to parents and reunifying them and getting accountability. So we created a reunification center. We're testing it out at McGee Park this time.
Okay.
Just making sure that the first responders, the school safety teams, the mental health component, and then the setup component is all ready to go. Heaven forbid that we never have to use it, but our motto in San Juan County is be prepared.
Right. Right. Good to hear. And and again, that we have the facilities to be able to do that on a larger scale. I know, and if you've got 500 kids that have to be reunited with 1,000 parents, how do you do that and keep track of all of them so nobody gets misplaced or sent home with the wrong adult or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, and you're correct. And one of the things that we didn't count on that we noted and we like, oh, we need to put this in our after action is one kid, but it's not just mom that shows up during a situation like that. Grandma, grandpa, dad, and mom. So we had, for every one kid, we had four or five other people showing up.
Right, even more so. So there you go. We're just about out of time this morning, everybody, but I did want to mention that September is Emergency Preparedness Month, and so that's really important, I think, just for households to think about what types of things. And so let me see if, Ryan, can you make a couple of comments about what in our households we should be thinking about as far as emergency preparedness in case of an incident or something happens? I don't know if we always have that top of mind. So,
sure. So some of the things I recommend that you have in place during an emergency is that you have, you know, food and water for everybody in the household for at least a couple of days, if not longer, that you think about food for your animals, obviously,
right.
Medications, if you have medications that you have to take or your animals have to take, that you have a supply of those and that you remember to grab those if you happen to have to evacuate from your home. Some of the other things that they also recommend is if you have a family communication and emergency plan. So if something should happen, something large happened in the area and the kids are at school and everybody's at work, that you have some sort of communication plan and a meeting point if like you said, the cell phone towers are overloaded. And so just making sure that people are aware of that, checking their stores if they already have those types of supplies in place and, you know, rotating stock to make sure that they are still good for that eventual emergency that hopefully never happens.
Right. We hope it doesn't. But yeah, a good thing once a year to at least make an inventory and kind of look around and yeah, see and just remind the kids, here's our plan, just so you don't forget. And if you can't use your phone, don't freak out.
Right.
But here's what we're going to do. And we all know what we're going
to
do.
We're not preaching just to emergency responders. We're preaching for our citizens.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And that's all month long. We'll hear more messages about that probably as well this month. So there you go. But gentlemen, we are out of time, I'm sorry to say, but I appreciate all three of you coming in to share your involvement with this upcoming drill. Once again, it's coming up on October the 5th. Two locations, one in Bloomfield and one in Farmington. So folks will see some activity, I imagine, around those places. But you'll send out, I know, a lot of words and advertise nearby about that. It's a drill and really important for everyone in the community to know kind of what their responsibilities are and what they can depend on during an emergency. So thank you all for coming in this morning. Appreciate
thank
it very
you,
much.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Scott. You bet. You bet. Great to have you here. My guest this morning from the San Juan County Office of Emergency Management and more here on KSJE. KSJE and San Juan College present the Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week.
Hello, this is M&T bringing you week 4 of Coaching Tips of the Week. This week is resources. There are many resources available on our college campus, both physically and online. Be sure to know these valuable resources if you are unsure of their availability. Do an online search using your college website. If you cannot find the resources on your own, be sure to contact the Student Achievement Center in room 1604. Resources can be found in the following areas: Library Services, Native American Center, Herencia and Latina Center, the Student Achievement Center, the Career Center, Trio Center / Edge, Tutoring Center, the Veterans Center, Financial Aid Office, Advising, the Counseling Center, Disability Services, Business Office, and the Dean of Students, and more.
The Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week, presented by KSJE and the Student Achievement Center at San Juan College. KSJE is proud to support the San Juan Medical Foundation's 42nd Annual Walkathon, Saturday, September 17th. The Walkathon is the Foundation's premier annual event, the fundraising effort that supports the Connolly Hospitality House and the San Juan Medical Foundation's mission of enhancing the health and well-being of people in the Four Corners community. Register to walk, sponsor a walker, or make a donation at sanjuanmedicalfoundation.com. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Museum. What if you could jump into the world of wild krats and swing through the trees like a monkey, or hunt like a dragonfish? Now you can. Wild Krats, Creature Power, and Ocean Adventure Museum Exhibit, opening September 24th through January 7th at the Farmington Museum. Tickets at farmingtonmuseum.org.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.